So my friend Kelly sent me a text the other day that I think was really funny and you would probably relate to. It was about how we plan to conquer the summer together while both of our boys' preschools and Mother's Day out options, well, they're no longer options for the summertime. Listen, I am all about creating fun summertime memories, but the morning coffee date with friends, the opportunity to clean up the house while the boys were in school, and getting some work deadlines met are now a little bit more challenging. But I have found us all a solution. There is an incredible app called Wendy that connects families and college student nannies. They are background checked, interviewed, and the sweetest. Not only are you able to meet your childcare needs, but you could also help those college students that are looking for summer jobs. There's options for part-time help and full-time help. Whatever your childcare needs are, Wendy has a match for all of them this summer. All you have to do is go to wendy.com/realtalk to start a search for a nanny. And as a special offer, they are going to knock $50 off your search if you go through that link. Wendy provides top-notch service, but at a fraction of the cost of traditional nanny agencies, and there's no ongoing fees. So here's how it works. Go to wendy.com/realtalk to start your search. A Wendy concierge will find great matches for your job and set up interviews for you. Then you choose the one you like. Get started now, though, because there are a lot of parents out there looking for nannies for the summertime, just like you and I. Go to wyndy.com/realtalk right now to start your search. Ruth, welcome back to Real Talk with Rachel Autry. So excited to have you.
I'm so glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
Of course. We are all about helping people find the delight in life and find joy right where they are, which you are so good at. So we are going to walk away with practicals that people can start applying right now. Hopefully we can give them some moments that make them go, oh, wait, me too. All because, you know, we're just two girls trying to figure out life right alongside of our friends listening today, because that's Absolutely. What friends are for, you know? So I'm so grateful that you're here. We're going to talk all about maybe getting unstuck in life and choosing to believe the truth about who God is and really leaning into knowing who God is. Because if I know anything about today, there's a lot of confusing messages out there about all of it. Us, God, everything. Everyone's questioning everything, it feels like. And so to know there is a truth is the best thing.
Yep, absolutely. You're right. I mean, the thing that I keep thinking about is how much I wake up every single morning, and here we are on a Monday morning, you and me here, and you wake up in the morning and you're immediately filled with every narrative about how you can't figure things out, how you're not the right girl for the job, how it's too much. Everything is always too hard, too much, and somehow we're always lacking, right? And so I think when you say the word unstuck, I immediately go, oh, I want to be unstuck. And you're right. Like that, I hope our conversation today will point our listeners to the source of how we can be unstuck rather than just try to figure it out on our own.
I know. It's time to give it up, friends.
I know. For
this conversation hopefully can help you out. This is for me too. I'm like, oh man, there's so many moments I feel stuck. Right. That's what I've learned from my author friends. They're all like, just because I wrote a book about it doesn't mean I figured it out myself. But you have written a beautiful, lovely devotional I'm excited to chat about today called Pilgrim, all about understanding God's character so that you can move forward. I didn't say that exactly how the subtitle is, but that's my own paraphrase.
Perfect. I love it.
And it's so beautiful. And again, your art is inside. Oh, just so our friends listening, in case this is their first episode on Real Talk with Rachel with you, you are a mom to six boys. And I just want you to know, I admire you. I have two. I have one third of what you've got. And I'm like, what? How? But you do it. You are in Colorado living your best life with the coolest views. Even the one behind you for our friends that are watching.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
This is my office. It was a deck that we closed in with all glass. So I basically sit in a glass box that I love, but it reminds me of all that God's created and helps me keep my eye on the prize, you know, but I'm Ruth Joe Simons. I'm a mama to six. My oldest is 21, heading off to grad school, Rachel. I can't even believe it. Moving out. I am a little bit because, you know, college is like come and go, but grad school, you know, he's an adult
now. You're full on adult. Yeah.
Yeah. He signed his first lease for an apartment. He's moving to Madison, Wisconsin. It's the whole thing. And that's far from us. So Madison's not that close. And then my second son is in college in Arizona, and we still have four younger ones at home. So it's flying by for sure. But I was not always doing the thing that you know me for, you know, and I feel like I have to say that to you specifically, but also to your listeners. If there are lots of other folks here who are in the little years with children or just wrestling with like, who am I and what am I supposed to do with my life? And you're in your 20s or 30s or even in my 40s, I'm like, wait, am I living my best life? How should I be using my gifts and talents? And really, am I supposed to be like spending this much time on folding laundry? Like there's those kinds of questions every day, right? And I just want to be honest and say there was a good long season when I was raising littles and I never saw this coming. I didn't see a publishing career. I didn't see, I'm the founder of Gracelace.com, a lifestyle brand where I get to marry my artwork with a truth and send artwork and products around the world. Never thought I would be a CEO of a lifestyle brand, a beautiful company where I can like shine with the things that God's gifted me with, but I couldn't have seen that coming a good 15, 20 years ago. And, so it's really my mission to, when I started Grace Laced, the thought was I wanted to understand how God's grace is laced through every part of our lives, even the ones that we don't understand why we're in the middle of. Like, why am I in this season? What am I doing with my life? Or is this really all there is? Even in those moments, we need to understand the gospel and understand the grace of God, because you never know, Rachel, what's coming around the bend. You never know what God has prepared for you. So being faithful right now makes a difference. Being faithful right this minute where you are matters in your journey. And we're going to talk a lot about journey today, but it matters because God, who holds our journeys, he is the one who's preparing you. And so rather than try to like create the perfect life for yourself, you know, leaning into how God's given you something to steward even now. So that's a little bit of a nutshell about me, is that, you know, when I say that, I just don't want to ever give my little bio and be like, I'm an artist and author and founder of Gracelace.com, and I have six boys, and just imagine my perfect life where I do all those things all the time. And it's not like that. There are different seasons where different things have taken priority for sure.
I'm so glad you shared that. I said this recently, that context kills comparison, and it does. Cause like we have so many incredible women on the show. And I think what's easy for me to do first off is to be like, oh, I don't have a book, you know, or I say like, oh, I don't have, that's not a part of my story, but context kills comparison. So if I'm hearing all the things that you've gone through, what brought you to where you are, even like the internal mind tension you went through between the motherhood and then what's next situation, like all of it, it just shuts it down. It shuts it down real quick to be like, I got a different story. I don't have to keep up. Ruth is on hers and I'm on mine, and it matters. And, so
and I think it's so easy what you just said to, it's easy to start comparing the progress somebody else has made, right? Which without looking at the context of their lives, you may not really understand. Sometimes you might see somebody, let's say in podcasting, you know, go places and just like grow at record speed, but you also don't know what that costs them in time.
That's right.
You don't know what that costs them in other areas. And so I think as women, it's so easy for us to just look at the fruit of like, wow, look at how much she's accomplished. I feel like I have some of those similar giftings. I feel like, you know, I have this ability. Why can't I do those things? But we don't ever see the full story of what it costs people or what they have to sacrifice or what they're saying no to in their lives. And all those factors really matter.
Amen. Oh, so good. And I think this completely ties into kind of my questions and like, honestly, it's so funny. Every time I sit down with somebody who's a few life steps ahead of me, this is not an interview. This is Rachel sitting down with coffee virtually with my friend Ruth to ask her all the questions I'm secretly wondering and pondering on my own. Right. So one of the things that I was really excited just to chat with you about is this idea of when we get in our own head about trying to figure us out, because I think that's a message that the world's throwing us is like, who are yes. you? Like, what are you going to do next? Your 5-year plan. Mm-hmm. And it's not a new message. It's just louder, I feel like, for some reason right now. I think it's important for me to remember it's not about figuring out me. It's about figuring out the God I serve. And then from there comes a place of figuring out me. If that makes sense.
Yes.
And you've done that. You've inspired me to get the priorities in line of figuring out who God is. And that's why I'm so grateful for this new devotional pilgrim, because that's exactly what it is.
I'm super grateful. You know, one of the things that you may have, I feel like the last time I was on the show was when I was speaking on Beholding and Becoming.
Yes.
And I might have included this quote in that devotional, but A.W. Tozer said, what someone believes about God and what they think about God is the most important thing about them. I might have messed it up a little bit, but basically it's what someone thinks about God is actually the most important thing about them. And so, Rachel, to your point, it's that we spend so much time trying to figure out who we are, but God's created us and wired us to be image bearers. And so the more we know Him and the more we have a high view of who God is, the more all these other things about who we are fall into place. So the most important thing about you is not actually how hard you hustle, how hard you work, what your giftings are, whether you are naturally amazing at certain things or you have to work super hard at. Those are not the most important things about you. The most important thing about you is whether you know the God that created you and trust Him for your life trajectory. Because once you have that secured and nailed down as like the anchor of your soul and your life, then everything you get to do is just an opportunity to step right into all that He has for you. And that part's easy.
That part's so easy. And the character of God never changes either. So it's like once you get to know Him, it's not like it changes in 2 years. You got to get to know Him again, like some of our friends and family here on earth. Like we all are changing and evolving, whether it's sanctification or the other direction. Like we're all changing, hopefully.
Yes.
So like it's not, to get to know God, it's not wasting your time. It's actually one of the best investments you can do with your mornings, your time, your relationships or whatever.
Let me just say though, real quick, because Rachel, you and I, we chose to come on here with a conversation. We both care about speaking truth and encouraging others to like tap into like what's really true in their lives and what's worthy of like really holding on to. But on the off chance that we have a listener who's like, I feel like God is distant and I feel like God is mad at me and I feel like I can't get my life together. So why would I even want to talk to Him? And really, is He worth it? I want to just say to that sister or friend that like, what you're feeling is real and true and nobody has it all together. There are days that I wake up and I go, do you hear me, God? Like, do you know what's going on in my life? I feel like I'm so many million miles away. And I think the thing that I want to just say up front here is in the light of all that we're going to talk about, the reality is God has always created us so that we would know Him. And so this is not even just like signing up for a workshop or a project and being like, I think it's a good self-help strategy to like get to know God or so that I can figure out my life. What you said earlier is exactly it, Rachel, is that it's not about our lives. We think it is, but it's actually about us stepping into the very purpose we were created for, which is relationship with Him. And so if you feel distant from God, I would just say, friend, God is not like your earthly father. God is, even the best earthly fathers are just a fragment of what our Heavenly Father is truly like. He is better than your very best. He is better than anything you could achieve or strive for or gain for yourself. And so when we talk about knowing the character of God, it's that we are saying God is knowable. And He invites us and pursues us to know Him because He knows that the more we know His heart, the more we actually surrender and step into Him as our shelter, not us trying to save ourselves, the more we can walk in step with Him and He's got it. We don't have to hold it all together. And so I hope that's even just a little bit of encouragement for somebody who might be listening in going, okay, they're saying all the right words for women who love God, but I feel like I'm not quite there. And I would just say it's never too late to start even today, even if you've been like keeping him at arm's length, even if you fell off your reading plan at Leviticus and said, I'm never going to go back.
It's always Leviticus.
Start today. It's always Leviticus, but you can start today and you don't go back to the word, read the Bible or know his character to grow in knowledge only, but to actually grow in your relationship with the one who made you.
That's right. And for our friends that need some like analogies, some real life examples, I love this one. Like the moments that Thomas, my husband and I are feeling just off. I'm like, are you annoyed with me? He's like, no. I'm like, well, okay. Cause we're just not jiving. Like this is interesting right now. It's the moments that we haven't spent time to connect. Mm-hmm. And the moments we haven't leaned in and asked questions to actually get to know who we are, maybe at a deeper, mm-hmm. more intimate level. So of course I question like, are you mad at me? Did I say something wrong? Why are you distant? You know, but I can do my part by stepping up and asking him the questions or getting the babysitter for date night. Like we can both do our parts to get there. And that is similar to our relationship with the Lord, where if you're feeling distant, like he's mad at you or you're misunderstanding his language or you're hearing shame and guilt when that's really not his intention, then chances are you just need to spend some time to connect again. Yeah, and it's never too late. He's always available. Praise God. That's a good part about him. He's always available.
Real Talk with Rach is brought to you by our friends over at Stanley, the drinkware brand that's there for you in all your adventures so you can make the most of your world, whether you're scaling a mountain or watching your littles climb a tree in your own backyard. One of my favorite Stanleys to grab on the go is their Ice Flow Flip Straw Tumbler. They come in 30-ounce and 20-ounce size, and that means they are perfect for any occasion because they are leak-proof, and all the mamas said amen. I grab the Ice Flow when we are headed out for the day of adventures, whether it be a play date at the park, trip at the zoo, or even out to our local airport to watch the planes fly by. With double wall stainless steel insulation, they keep our drinks extra cold for 12 hours. And I'm not even kidding you, ice has stayed in those cups for 2 days for me. I also love the little handle at the top to carry them around. It's seriously so cute to watch Maddox carry around his little Stanley for all of his adventures too. Visit Stanley1913.com and use the code Rachel20 to save 20% off your ice flow and other favorite Stanley products today. That's Stanley1913.com.
What Absolutely. Are some different parts of who God is that you feel like you've recently been remembering often that have kind of changed the game, like changed the perspective for you?
So, you know, I'll just jump in and just say the reason why I titled this new devotional Pilgrim is because I haven't felt very at home for as long as I remember. And if somebody's out there listening going, yeah, I kind of feel like sometimes I'm just like, nothing feels quite right. And nothing feels like quite like home. Even if I succeed something, even if my kids obey, even if I get a bunch of followers on Instagram, it just never feels quite right. And that's because this isn't home. Earth isn't home. Social media is not home. Making a bunch of friends, everybody thinking you're the prettiest, that's not home. And I think we sometimes substitute and think that we can find home and satisfaction right where we are when we were made and created for his presence and for another world. And so we are all pilgrims. If we are in Christ, we are pilgrims passing through heavenward to the day when we are no longer hurting through because of the sin in this world and our own sin, and our bodies are made new. And there are, you know, as we read in Revelation, no more tears, no more suffering, no more pain. That's what home is. And so in the last couple of years, you know, details don't necessarily matter when there are stories that I, you know, can't tell for somebody else, but people I love have gone through really difficult things, but I've also gone through things where it just really hasn't felt fair. It hasn't felt fair because maybe a betrayal in a relationship or because the circumstances that were promised to me didn't work out or whatever it is. I find myself in the part of my journey where I'm like, I literally just don't know how I'm still in this. Like, this is so easy, God. You could just fix this situation. Mm-hmm. And yet I have to like somehow trudge through the pain of not knowing or struggling or wondering how it's all going to turn out. And so in those moments, I can either fix everything or try to fix everything. Or what I've learned again and again is that on my pilgrim journey, I have to return to who does God say he is? Because if he's trustworthy, then the next step I take and being in this valley or whatever rocky or bumpy road I'm on is okay if I know who I'm following. And so, for example, God's omniscience, right? His omniscience, the fact that he knows all things, not one detail escapes him. So let's just, I don't know, I'll just be a little vulnerable here and say, Rachel, all of us have experienced when somebody has stabbed us in the back, or when somebody has really hurt us, or when somebody has said something and we've been mischaracterized or misunderstood, or when we've been mistreated and we're like, I didn't deserve that. I literally have done everything I could. How am I being treated this way?
Yeah.
When we're struggling with something like that, we can either go, well, I'm going to prove them wrong and I'm going to absolutely go fix everything and what everybody's saying about me. Or we can say, okay, I'm going to lean into opportunities to forgive, to make things right, to work this out. But I can remember that God's omniscience means that he knows it all. I don't need to go and defend myself with everybody. I can trust that God, who is just, and there's more of his character, right? That he is just, that he is omniscient, that because of his justice and his wisdom and his omniscience and his compassion, all these things come together where nothing will be wasted. Your suffering, my suffering, the hurts that we experience, those won't be wasted, and he will make everything right in the end. And I think that keeps me recognizing that I don't have to fix every rocky part of my journey. I don't have to go and like make sure that everybody likes me. I can settle into God knows my heart. God knows the actions I've taken. God knows, and he's not wasting anything for other parties and myself, another person who's hurt me and myself, or any of those things. And I just picked that one example because it's so tender for all of us when somebody's hurt us, but it could be so many other things, right? When we lose a job and we're going through financial stress, or when, however, despite how hard we've tried, that one child is really, really rebellious and really defiant and not like softening up. Like, how do you deal with those things when life is disappointing or it's really difficult to know how to take the next step? You start with looking at God's character and why he would allow this in your life right this season. And that's how you can press in.
Yes. So good. What I'm hearing too is this bigger idea of trust and knowing someone, knowing God.
Yeah.
The more you know him, the more you trust him, because you realize like he's worthy of my trust. He hasn't let me down. And his resume is really thick. it's a beefy resume. Like, I can trust him, right? But that trust comes with knowing him and discovering him. One of the ones for me recently has been just sovereignty. Like, there's just a lot changing, shifting, going on naturally in like your late 20s, early 30s. You're kind of figuring out
for sure
what you like to do, what you would value in life, all the things. But still, like, nothing is firm. And you've kind of, I don't know, I looked at my parents at my age and been like, oh, they got it all figured out. Hindsight, I now know, talking with my mom, they actually did not. But all these things where it's like, I can mess this up. What if I'm responsible for my kids having to go to therapy one day, which they will regardless. But like, all these things, realizing God's sovereign. God cares about this situation, me, my kids, my husband, more than I do. And to be able to yield and trust him is another part of his character. Like, he's sovereign. He's worthy of my trust. Here's another thing I love about your devotional, just jumping back to it, is that there's all these words, right? Like, omniscient, sovereign, omnipotent, like all these character words,
right?
All huge theological words, right? But like, you so beautifully simplify them. So I also want to speak to the friend listening who she's like, oh, this is out of my ballpark. I can't keep up with the lingo, that you can. It's a lot more simple, I think, than we'd complicate it to be.
And then in my heart, my goal is for all of us women who, you know, my last big book that I wrote before the Christmas one was When Striving Cease, where I told my whole story of how I'm a recovering striver, a perfectionist, someone who tried to earn approval through achievement and worth found in what I could accomplish, and how that really doesn't jive with the grace of God. And so with that, knowing that context, I'm just saying, listen, this is me telling you that I try to figure out and through my own formulas all the time. Like, that was my default. My default is to be like, what's Ruth's formula for figuring this out and for achieving what I want and the results that I want? But when we look at who God is, it doesn't matter if we use a big fancy theological word, But all of us, especially I would say as women who, we don't have to go to seminary to learn that theology matters. Theology is just a big way of saying who God is, right? How, what is he like? What are his ways? What is his character? When we know those things and suddenly you realize, oh, like there's a long history of people who've already studied this and who've really thought through all the scriptures that show us why he's sovereign, why he is all powerful, which is the word omnipotent. So it doesn't, the word itself isn't going to give you brownie points. It just helps you frame up and say, oh, there is this question I'm asking of like, is God really powerful? Can he do this? The answer is yes. And this is why. And so there's in this devotional, it's really 25 readings, 25 ways that God is really better than us, that he is so worthy of our trust, Rachel. And I think that if we give it time and we take the time to linger and meditate on and think about who God is and how we don't even compare, then suddenly your day shifts and you realize, oh, I can remember all day long today that God is sovereign, that he really is in charge of everything. I'm not as in control as I think I am. Mm-hmm. And that makes a huge difference in our daily lives, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So somebody that was on this project with you, or two people, Jada Edwards and Jen Wilkin.
Well, they weren't on the project with me. They're actually at my live event. They're my guests. Yes. So, so it's basically like the launch party. So I invite, they're two really good friends of mine. And, you know, they both are Bible teachers. And Jen and I are real close. And she's written lots about the attributes of God. And the live event is September 22nd in Dallas. And it's kind of like taking everything from this book and putting it on an experience that we could all get together and sing hymns with Aaron Williams from the Worship Initiative. And Jen Wilkin, Jade Edwards, and I are going to talk about how God's character has affected parts of our stories as well. So for anyone listening, I hope you come to
I want to get there. I want to get to Dallas.
I would love for you to come.
That'd be so fun. But something that Jen has done that is so cool, and that's why I'm so grateful she's a part of that fun party with you, is she basks in like the curiosity. She just kind of sits there for a moment. She doesn't try to come up with the Bible answer. She doesn't try to like figure it all out. She's just kind of like, it's okay if I don't know. I can take the time to figure it out. That's something that you do really well too. And I'm realizing, and like the women that I really respect in this space is the people that are like, I'm not going to pretend to figure this out. I'm going to just do my own work, lean in on my own, get curious, be okay saying like, I'm not quite sure about that. Let me figure it out. Because I think that that curiosity oftentimes leads us to like the trueness of who God is, rather than sometimes us Bible girls who grew up watching VeggieTales and eating animal crackers. Like, we can be quick to be like, oh, here's my answer. But it hasn't made that 18-inch connection between our brain and our heart. So I want to speak to that girl too, to be like, it's okay to admit, like, you know what it means, but you don't know what that means and how it applies to you. And this is just as much, this conversation, this devotional is just as much for you as someone who is truly doesn't know where to start. It's also for the girls that think they know it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, I love that you brought up Jen's like heartbeat in her ministry, because I think one of the things that, you know, she speaks to so much as Bible literacy, right? Mm-hmm. Like going back to the word and not just picking and choosing what you like to read and something that'll give you a little kick for the day, but to actually understand the whole counsel of God's word, to know the redemptive story from beginning to end. And so what I seek to do, and why, you know, she's such a good friend, and I love her messaging too, is that as we're talking about this, the thing that has to happen for all of us Bible girls who went to church camp a lot and think that we know the right answers is that we have to assess whether or not we've really understood the God of the Bible, not the God of just a general worship song or the way we feel or the way we think we need to feel. Like if we see something secular and we feel that defensiveness rise up, where we're like, no, God's great. God's really great like this. But have you trusted him by going to the word and seeing, oh, that's God chose to do it this way. God is this way. He could have done it this way, but he did not. Why is he the way he is? And to understand from beginning to end, not just pick and choose one verse out of the whole Bible and say, God is love because, but to say God is love. And if you could see my hands going, because from beginning all the way to the end, how is God love through Jesus Christ from Genesis all the way through Revelation? Like that's what we need to wrestle with and reckon with, because I think the reason why so many believers are so anemic and we're weak and we're kind of like always reaching for the next self-help moment or workshop or book that we can kind of fix our lives with is probably because we think we already know who God is, but we actually haven't trusted in every part of who he's shown us to be, himself to be. So if we were to just invite him in and to actually understand his character from beginning to end, I think we would step into a more powerful understanding of God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and how every part of who he is transforms our lives. And we don't have to have it all figured out today. We need to be on a trajectory where we are understanding and knowing him more and more day by day.
That's so good. Yeah. It releases that, the pressure to just figure him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And knowing that this is a relationship. You don't just get to know someone the moment you say, I do. You got to keep going on dates. You got to keep asking questions. And it's the same. It's, you wish. Wouldn't that be easy? But that's not how it works. That's so
well,
good.
You know, I think about how I love thinking through the fact that between you and me, there's about 20 years, right? Two decades of, because I'm just an older lady here, you know, but I think about early married years and how I am repeating now. Troy and I just went to Paris for our 25th wedding anniversary.
Which was magical. Okay. Your picture in front of the Eiffel Tower.
25 years. We literally were like, we made it. Like we didn't, you know, early on we were like, this is really hard. And not that 25 is like the end point, but that we were like, wow, that's quarter of a century, you know. But we are even now remembering some of the things that we did early on in the same way that, God says, you know, in Revelation 2, the letter to the church of Ephesus, you know, go back to what you did at first. Remember how you loved me at first. Remember how before it became like a bunch of like what I have to do for God. How do I love him? And in the same way, in a lot of times in marriage, you have to go back to rehearsing and remembering what you love about each other, right? Because in the midst of paying for mortgages and raising children and dealing with conflict and wondering why they always leave their stuff out in a certain place. And you're like, why haven't we talked about this? In the midst of all that, and then the stress of, I have so much going on too. Why can't you carry this? Or in the midst of all that, Rachel, you have to be like, wait, I need to remember and go back to what was sweet about our relationship in the very first place, and rehearse and remind yourself what it is that's special about your relationship, what is true, right? And so in the same way, I will not remember why God is worthy and why I love Jesus and why I want to live for him today if I don't go back and remember and rehearse and preach to myself again and again, even starting right now, because he did this and he was faithful like this. And you know what? Beyond my own story, God did this for the Israelites. God did this to accomplish his plan. God did this with the disciples. And I see the same thing of faithfulness in my life over and over and over again. And when we rehearse those things, we fall in love with him all over again. And so I think that's why in the letter, in Revelation, the letter to the church at Ephesus, he goes, go back to what you did at first. Remember your first love, right? Yeah. And so in the same way, it's not that we just go, God is sovereign. I'm picking on that one attribute because we've been talking about this, but God is sovereign. I'm going to write it in an index card and I'm going to make sure that I remember this when things are hard. It's not just that. It's rehearsing the stories of why he's sovereign, mm-hmm. how he's been sovereign in your life and in the story in scripture. When we rehearse those truths, we keep telling ourselves the beautiful stories of how he's put it on display over and over and over again. And your heart softens, right? It's hard to be bitter and it's hard to be hardened in heart. It's hard to stay away. Just like in marriage, it's hard to stay away when you rehearse the good news and the truths of why you love the other.
That was so good. Yeah, that was for me figuring out again why. Like, why? Why did you even start believing in the first place? What was so beautiful and so like satisfied that craving you were looking for? And asking the hard question, like, why doesn't it feel like it works now? You know, and really leaning in. And I think that that's where most people tap out, is because, I don't know, especially raising in a church, being like, don't you dare doubt God. Don't you dare ask those questions, you know? And in reality, I think he just wants our honesty too, to be like, I don't know about this. I'm not quite sure anymore. And for him to be like, hey, let me show you, like, I want you to lean in and ask me and show up, continue to be here. Yeah. Cause he totally wants that for us too. Oh, that was for me. Will you tell us a little bit more about where we can find Pilgrim in September, all the fun things? The people are like, I need more of this conversation. Like, this is for me. I'm like, oh, girl, there's more to this conversation. Like, Ruth has given us all the fun things, but where can we find them?
Yeah, well, I'm so grateful to have this conversation with your audience. And, you know, Pilgrim is jam-packed full of artwork that helps you like linger long in scripture. And it's daily, it's readings that take you through a 25-day journey. And one little fun little thing that I want to just sneak in there is that I grew up singing hymns because the hymn lyrics helped me do that very thing that we just talked about, rehearsing the truth, preaching it back to myself, remembering it. You know how, speaking of VeggieTales, you know how a song gets stuck in your head and you're oh my goodness, I'll never forget that. And so I am just inviting my readers to remember that we don't remember everything super easily. Mm-hmm. We need to have good songs, good lyrics, good words, good reminders of who God is when the road gets hard. And so I hope you pick up this devotional. It's available anywhere you want to pre-order or when it's out at bookstores nationwide, but you can learn more at pilgrimbook.com. And yeah, if you're hearing this before September 22nd and you can make a little girls trip or a weekend away in Dallas, my whole team will be there and it will be an extraordinary evening of, unlike a typical conference where it's like just a presentation as a, you know, a talk, this is real conversations. Jen, Jada, and I, who are real friends, we laugh about silly things. And I'm sure there's a whole bunch of stuff that will happen on stage that you don't find anywhere else. And so we're going to be really talking in real time about these personal stories and how God's character has changed us over the years. And so, I hope I can connect with someone live there. But if not, I would love to connect with you online. I'm pretty regular on Instagram at Ruth Jo Simons, and you can see the rest of my artwork through gracelace.com.
You're a treasure. I'm so grateful to have you always. Today's conversation was for me. It was so good. But I just, want to say thank you. And listen, I'm literally going to go home and be like, Thomas, get me on a flight. Let's go in September to Dallas.
It'd be so fun.
Wouldn't that be so fun?
You guys should come.
Oh, sure. I'd love to.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode with us. It would mean the most if you took 30 seconds and left us a 5-star review in whatever platform that you're listening in right now. It's one of the best and free ways that you can love on us. So don't forget that anything we mention in today's episode, from resources, products, and more, can all be found in our show notes at realtalkwithrachel.com. For more updates, behind the scenes, and fun chats, head over to Instagram and follow us at Real Talk Podcast. We'll be right back.